Today's daf in the Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadik Gimel, and we were holding in the B'maika Miflage, B'haikra. So basically, we'll get there in a moment, we're seven lines down, but basically we've got three shitot. We've got three separate situations in a case where people do malachas together. We've got a case where Zeyachol, the Zeyachol, two people can do the entire thing on their own, and they get together and they do it. So Rabbi Meir says, even there, you're chayev. We have the other case of Ze Eino Yachol, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, in that case, you would be chayev if they were Ze Eino Yachol, because they need each other. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you would be potter. And then we have the case of Ze Yachol, Ze Eino Yachol, where over there everybody is better than Chayev, and we're not quite sure who exactly is Chayev, what does it mean, one of them, which one, both of them, all to be seen. And the question is, what is the basis of the Machlokas over here? So B'maika Miflagin. Now it turns out that even though we've got three of these cases where two people do something together, all three of those cases, mind you, are doing the whole thing together. Not that one does half and one does the other half, right? But remember that we started off the Masechet with the case of where one does half and the other one does the other half. That was the case of the Ani and the Baal HaBayit. Now, over there, we said that for sure. We didn't find anybody that said that if you only do the Akira and somebody else does the Hanocha, that either of those people, even though they're participating between them in having completed the entire melacha, nobody says that that case was chayev. So clearly there's got to be a miut for that separately from the other two possibilities, which is Zeyachol v'Zeyachol, or Zeyno Yachol v'Zeyno Yachol. The other is just a subset of those, one of those two. And therefore, we want to know, what is the marker for this? Now, just think about this for a moment. In order for us to believe Rabbi Shimon Shita, that you would never be chayev in any case where you did something b'shituf with someone else, even where both of you were absolutely necessary in order to do that thing, you've got this very heavy beam. There's no way for it to be carried out on Shabbat. One guy holds one end, one guy holds the other end. Rabbi Shimon says, you're potter. Certainly in a case where we would talk about and that's reasonable. I mean, that you're doing it normally. Koshkin, in a case where you could have done it yourself, you would be put, because that's not normal. In order for us to think that Rabbi Shimon's pshat is correct, we would need three separate psukim. We would need one pasuk that would exclude completing a malacha between the two of you. So that would be a case of one person does the akira and one person does the hanacha. Then we would need another pasuk to say that even if two people participate in doing an entire malacha, they're potter. Okay, but then obviously I would use that pasuk to be referring to a case where it wasn't really necessary for the two people to participate. Namely, I would say it's talking about a case of Zeyachol v'Zeyachol. But it would not be enough to exclude from that single extra pasuk, even where I absolutely needed two people to do it, which was the norm of how it would be done kotzah on Shabbos. So I would need a third pasuk to tell me that even in a case where two people were absolutely necessary in order to be able to achieve the malacha, because it's simply too heavy for me to carry out, even there the Torah is saying a malacha is only a malacha when it's achieved by a single person. So it turns out that indeed the machlokis over here between the three shitot, according to which Rabbi Meir holds your chayev under any and all circumstances, except of course for the first one where one does akira, one does hanocha, so nobody did the entire malacha. But otherwise, Rabbi Meir says, I don't care. Even if it's a case where either of you could have done it on your own, you're still going to be chayev. And Rabbi Yehuda, who says, only if you couldn't have done it on your own, are both of you chayev. And Rabbi Shimon, who holds that if even in a case where you absolutely need the other person, you're potter, it would turn out that the question is, how do we look at the pasuk? Do we have indeed three separate miyutim, or do we not? So let's take a look at the pasuk. B'maika Miflagei, seven lines down, B'haikra. Getting back to the pasuk that teaches us about chiyuv chatas, v'im nefesh achat techete bishkaga be'am haaretz be'asota. Now, to say nefesh achat, I mean, normally when you say nefesh, it means a person. Why would you have to say a single person? So that would already be two separate miyutim. A person, who is always an individual, a single person, which is stressing that it's got to be just a single person again. And then at the end of the pasuk says, ba'asota, in his having done it. So Rabbi Shimon says, look, those are three separate miyutim. Nefesh techeta, achat techeta, ba'asota techeta. The only way that we define the chet is if it is entirely individualized, A. And if it's only that one single individual, B. And if that person did the entire thing, C. I mean, so what is that coming to tell me? Ah, one comes to tell me the case where no one person, even if you split it, no one person did an entire thing. One person does the Akira, one person does the Hanacha. And there is the most obvious case that we would be mamayit. So that would be case number one. That is not even a single person completing the malacha. Okay, that's a given. If I had one pasuk, that's what I would use it for. I have another pasuk. The other pasuk is the next most reasonable case to exclude, says Rabbi Shimon. And that would be the case in which you have zeyachol v'zeyachol. I mean, I'm doing something in a crazy way. Why do we need two people to take out a piece of bread? So, okay, that would be the next case that the Torah is saying. A participation in something that was unnecessary would not be considered to be a malacha. But I still have a third case. And that third miut would be coming to tell me that even if ze'eno yachol ve'ze'eno yachol, and therefore you'd say, okay, but I'm doing it the way I absolutely can do it. I can't do it any other way. This thing is so darn heavy. If I don't have anybody else carrying it, I'm not going to be able to do it. Nonetheless, the Torah is saying, that's all very nice. I have no quarrels with the fact that this is the only way to get it done. I'm simply telling you that the concept of a malacha or of anything that I've defined in the Torah as being a reality is where it's done by you, not where it's done by two people. And it's simply gzeirat ha-katuv, that's the way it is. So according to this, we would have three miyutim to be mamayit, the three cases that we were worried about in terms of chiyuvim, and therefore none of them would be chayiv. Zeh oker v'zeh meniach, zeh yachol v'zeh yachol, and even zeh eino yachol v'zeh eino yachol. Masha Einkein, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, rather, he says, well, I say that, yes, the first two miyutim, you're correct, but the third miyut, which you were using to say that even if there was no choice but to have two people do it, you're still going to be putter, I say that that miyut was coming for a different purpose entirely, and therefore, for this, I only have two miyutim, and I'll tell you what they are. The first one was indeed Lemeutez Nefesh Zeo Kevazeminia. The achat is coming to tell me zeyachol v'zeyachol. But the last case, ba'asota, is a much more complex issue because what it's saying over there is the involvement of the individual in the asiya. It's not simply stressing the individual. It's saying the individual in his having done this. And that's coming to tell me something much more important, which is that if an individual does something based on a Beit Din, that the Beit Din said this was okay to do, then he would be potter. Why? Because he's not putting his own mind and choice into this the way he normally would. Therefore, it's not considered to be a chiyuv chatas. In fact, we look at it as an ones, so that he wasn't given an opportunity to really think about the situation. Therefore, I say the last miut is not coming to tell me that someone who's doing things normally with another person helping him, carrying out a heavy load, that he would be putter. He would be chayev in that case. Rabbi Shimon, it's true that actually ba'asota is more reasonable for that, but Rabbi Shimon, in fact, told the Yochid Shasabarat Beitin chayav. According to Rabbi Shimon, the fact that Beis Din said something is mutter is no reason for us to say that you don't have to use your brains, and that therefore, since the rabbi said it's okay, I don't have to think about it, it doesn't matter. It's still considered to be a not an ones, but a chiyuv chatas. You did b'shogeg. You thought you had a right to rely on the Beit Din. So this is talking about the Beit Din HaGadol. But in fact, that's only called a shogeg. What about Rebbe Meir? Rebbe Meir says, now looky here. You don't have three miyutim, okay? Because nefesh achat is not two separate things. Where did the Torah ever say? Im nefesh techata, im achat techata, basota techata. Come on, man. I mean, you set the thing up so it sounds like we've got three separate miyotim. We don't have three separate miyotim. Nefesh achat techata is a normal way for the Torah to describe an individual doing a sin. That's one miyot. Now, I agree that that miyot is definitely coming to tell me that if two people get together and between the two of them, they do the malacha, each one doing half of it, I do the akira, you do the hanacha. That for sure is not called nefesh achat, and you'd be, please mute yourself, and you would be potter. Gavi, we love hearing you, but only when it's you, not when it's the boss. So in that case, you would certainly be potter, and I agree. But it doesn't say nefesh techata, achat techata, basota techata, which means that the bottom line is we have only three miyutin. One indeed is to be mamayit zeoker v'zeminiach, and the asota, I agree with Rabbi Yehuda in that the asota is coming to tell me yochid shasa'a bohora at peitin is potter. And therefore, if I would say every single case where two people participate, bottom line is, you participated in doing a malacha. You were a partner in a malacha, and the Torah never said that a partner in a malacha is potter. That's all. Therefore, according to me, you'd be chayev in all cases, except where no person was a partner in the whole malacha, which is the oker v'zeminiach. Now, let's get back to the other case that we mentioned, which was a subset, and that was Zeyachol v'Ze'eno Yachol. So we said everybody is made in that case that you are Chayev. Who is you? Does you mean, and Rashi understands this to mean essentially, does you mean the, qualify terminology over here. And that is, I'll use the word the strong guy and the weak guy, but it isn't really true. It's misleading. Because as Tosis points out, these cases have to do with logistics. And having to do with logistics means that your particular grip is important, not your theoretical strength. So in other words, if you're in a position where I could have carried out this beam on my own, I could have put it on my back and carried it out, let's say, right? But I'm holding one end of it, and there's no way for me to carry the whole thing now if I'm holding one end. So then I'm going to need two people. That's considered to be ze'eno yochol v'ze'eno yochol, says Tosfos, even though theoretically you could have. Now, the same thing would be true if you're carrying something in an awkward way. So, I mean, even the case of the loaf of bread is theoretically possible that the only way I have a grip on it is from the very end, and therefore I need somebody to help me. Everybody's been in that kind of position where you're holding something, you're holding a lot of other things or whatever, you're holding something, and if somebody doesn't give you a hand, you're not going to be able to carry it, even though it may only weigh a pound. So that is the real meaning of this. But just for a shortcut, when we talk about the two partners, instead of saying each time Zeyachol or Zeyno Yachol, we'll call the Eino Yachol the weaker partner in context, let's say, right? So then there's two ways to look at this. One way of looking at it is that the guy who could have done it on his own and is accepting the help from this other person is really not putting much into this, right? He's saying, okay, fine, yeah. Come, little boy, give me a hand. Come on. So he says to his kid, this is so heavy. I can't move this. Okay, so can you help daddy? Now, obviously, in that case, daddy is going to allow the kid to help him, then he's going to have to not really carry it on his own. Masha Enkein, the kid is putting everything he could into this. Oh, wow, this really is heavy. For him, it really is heavy. So again, in that case, we could say that the weaker partner, the one in the worst position, is putting in more into the malacha in terms of his commitment to the malacha and in terms of its malacha's bachshevas element than the other guy is. He's basically going out of his way not to really put himself into the malacha. So he's out of it. So one way of looking at it is that the minor partner, so to speak, is the one who is doing the malacha more than the other one. The other way of looking at it is that, look, daddy is the one who can really carry this out. And if the daddy lets go, little boy's going to drop it. If little boy lets go, daddy's not really going to notice. He'll just take up the extra load. So in that case, it should be the major partner that would be chayav. So how do we look at it? The other way of looking at this is the way Tosfos understands it, which is certainly we're not going to pater the major partner. The question is even the minor partner included? So over there, we said you're chayev. Haimina you're chayev. Omer Reb Chista, the one who's chayev is the one who is able to do it on his own. Because if you're going to tell me it's the other one, what is he doing? He's not necessary. Omer Le Rav Amnuna, I don't understand. I explained to you what he's doing. He's helping. I mean, he's putting everything he's got into it. You can't say he's not helping. I mean, some of the weight is being supported by him. You can't simply dismiss his position. So if you're ready to acknowledge that the Torah hasn't been mamayit a case entirely where two people do things, then we should look at it perhaps in this case as he being the one who really put a lot into it. And as far as what was achieved, helping was achieved. I mean, helping is something, right? No. Helping is not something. Misayeya ein bo mamash. In fact, doing something is not considered to be helping somebody else. So therefore, in no direction, the fact that I help this guy does not make him putter. And the fact that I put out so much in order to help does not make me chayev. And therefore, in no direction do we consider a misayeya whose place is unnecessary to be a meaningful thing. And I will prove this. I'll prove it to you that in general, the concept of doing something which helps something else, but that one thing that you're doing is insignificant in and of itself, I'll prove to you that that's not considered to be meaningful. Take a look at this Mishnah in Masechet Zavim. So we've got a case over there. A Zav is sitting on a bed, and there's four talitot, one talit under each one of the bed's legs. So arba taliot tachat raglei amita. The din is all of these talitot are considered to be tamei midras. Why? Because the bed is supporting the zav, and each one of the legs was necessary. If you take off that leg, the bed's going to fall. So because of that, because of the fact that it can't stand on three legs, we consider all of the legs to be the equivalent case to ze eno yochol, veze eno yochol. And therefore, it's the same case that we had by Shabbat. Rabbi Shimon, who is consistent with his opinion by Shabbat, says no, he would be tahor, because he understands from that pasuk that the Torah does not consider two people or two legs or whatever the situation is sharing in a thing to be the ones who are doing the thing. So according to Rabbi Shimon, all of these talitot are tahor, consistent with his opinion here in terms of otzah of Shabbos. What if the zav is riding on an animal? Now that's different. Because an animal can, in fact, stand on three legs, and often does. It will pick up one of its legs to scratch or to rest or whatever, right? So if hayarochev agabe behema, so let's say this behema now comes to stand on four separate talitot, one under each one of its legs, then all of them are tahar. Because in this case, yichola la'amod al shalosh, the animal does not need all four legs to support itself, in which case we cannot say that this is a case of ze'eno yochol ve'ze'eno yochol. Now ask yourselves, I mean, certainly if the animal is standing on all four legs, that each leg is at least helping, right? And it's certainly a misayeah, you're telling me, but it could have stood on only three legs. Okay, but it's much more balanced, it's simpler to stand on four legs. So it should be a misayeya, in which case it ought to be the same as the case of standing on a bed. Must be that even though misayeya bahariyata, they love mishom da'amrina misayeya b'mamash. It must be because of exactly what Rav Chista said before. Misayeya is not a significant consideration, not in terms of being mechayev the misayeya, and not in terms of lessening the responsibility and the act of the one who does the eager act. Omar Reb Yehuda midiskarta. Actually, le'olam em lecha misayeya yesh bo mamash. I don't think that this proves anything. I'll tell you why. Because it's different in this case. In the case in the Mishnah, a standing animal will be oiker its legs really in order to shift its weight. It takes weight off of one leg completely, okrala lagamre. So it could be that there is nothing over here, that maybe the leg is bichlal not bearing weight. And if that's the case, then it would not, in this particular case, I would say, okay, enochinami, this is not even considered to be the type of misayeya that is going to be mechayev you, or to this case, mitayer you. But maybe if it was a misayeya and it was necessary, it actually is there. No, I shouldn't say necessary, but it's actually there. Says Gemara, I don't understand that. Why is that so? I mean, if the animal raises a leg now and then, or takes its weight off of one of its legs, right? I mean, it's not a particular leg that it takes its weight off of. It moves about. So it's gonna shift its weight in order, like humans do. They shift their weight around, give a leg a little bit of a rest. And zimnin akralaha, v'zimnin akralaha. So sometimes it's gonna put its weight on those three legs, sometimes on those three legs. Then if that's the case, what we're looking at is the equivalent of the Mishnah that speaks about a Zav who is sleeping on a bed and is moving around in his sleep. So he's twisting and turning in bed. Now, the din over there is like this, where it says in the Mishnah, Milotnan, Zav shayamu talach hamisha saf salim. Let's imagine a case. You've got these five benches, one next to the other. A Zav is sleeping on those five benches, or he's sleeping across five punda'ot, which are these money belts. Now, normally, if he's sleeping on a money belt is not going to be makabel tuma of mishkav. I mean, a normal belt wouldn't be makabel tuma of mishkav, because remember the rule is for a Zav, if somebody is going to say to him, will you please get off of that so I can use it, it's not considered to be roi for tumas mishkav, right? But in a money belt, remember specifically, is the equivalent of the case that we had in Kalim, where something that opens from the side, if a Zav is on top of it, we don't say amod v'nasim alachtenu, because you could still get something out from the side. A money belt is like that. Even if he's sleeping on it, we're not going to tell him, yeah, please get your stomach off of that belt. We'll simply put your hand in and pull the money out. And therefore, it would be the same case. All right, anyway, but let's take the case of the benches. It's easier to imagine. And now he is sleeping on these five benches. Now, if he's sleeping along the length of the bench, then we say that they're all tameim, because since he's moving about, the likelihood is that he went across each one of these benches. And if that's the case, then every one of these benches would have supported most of the weight of the Zav. And in fact, we learn out in Teras Kayanim that you need to have most of the weight supported by something in order for it to be able to be Metame Midras. Okay, if he's flopping about, so then it's very likely each one of these benches at one point or another was carrying the weight of the Zav. But if it's the other way around, if he's running, if he's lying across the width, so then each one of them is never going to be a carrying most of the weight of the Zav. But if he is the kind of guy that was flipping and turning in the bets that he might have actually flipped, and he's Yashen, Suffolk mitapech aleihem, then they're tamei in any way, because maybe he was originally sleeping lengthwise instead of widthwise. In any event, you see from here that even though it's a suffolk, whether he's moved from one to the other and it's supporting his weight, the din is that if it's mitapech, we give a din of tuma to all of the benches or all of the money belts. And in this case, all you said to me was that since the animal will shift its weight and can stand on three legs, that you're saying it's not even a normal misayeya. Well, then I say to you, since it's moving about the shifted leg constantly, it's no different than the Zava Mitapech. And at one point or another, each one of these talitot should have been mekabel tuma. Therefore, the only reason that we're saying that it's not mekabel tuma is because it's only a misayeya. Because even if it's down there, we don't need it. And then that would prove again that misayeya ain't bo mamash. So it actually is a good raya to what Rav Chisda said. Omer of Papa Mishmei de Rava, I got another raya. Afananamitino, also from a Mishnah in Zavim, where Rabbi Yossi says, as opposed to the Mishnah that we just had over here, and that's going according to those who hold that all four legs of an animal, if it would be standing on it, would be mitame, that a sus is only mitame on its front legs, its yadav, its four legs, and a donkey is only mitame through its rear legs. Shemishenet asus al yadav, and mishenet achamor al raglav, because this is the way that they balance their weight usually. Now, does that make sense? I mean, certainly all of the legs are useful. I mean, they're at least being misayea, right? Okay, misayea, and therefore they ought to actually be mitame because of the siyua, unless you're told that misayea ain bo mamash. And therefore, again, we're seeing that we're taking for granted that a misayea is not a significant thing. Ravashi, I also have a raya, not from a Mishnah, but I've got a raya from a Brisa. You've got a Kohen who's doing avoda, and one of the legs of the Kohen is being supported by a rock on the ground or by a kli. So he's standing with one foot on the floor, which is essential because you cannot have a chatzitza, the same way you cannot have a chatzitza between a Kohen's hand and the kli, you cannot have a chatzitza between his bare foot and the floor. So in this case, he's got his weight, one leg is on the floor, one leg is on the kli or on the rock that's not part of the floor. What's the din? The din is that you have to take a look and measure the weight as it is balanced. Assuming that if yinatela kli v'tinatela evan, assuming that if we would move away the kli, or move away the evan, he would still be perfectly okay on the one foot that is on the floor, and he wouldn't fall over, and he'd be able to stand that way, then the avoda is kosher. Why? Because he's standing on the rizpah. But if he wouldn't be able to, then his avoda would be pasul. Now, why would we say that his avoda is kosher just because he could theoretically stand on one foot if you removed the kli or the evan? But he is still using that foot that's on the evan to help, isn't he? So then that should be a misayea. And if a misayea yeshbo mamash, then the avoda should be pasul because he is not fully on the rizpah. So obviously what you're saying is that the fact that we're all agreed that it's an adjuncts don't mean anything. And unless it would be necessary, then it's not considered to be meaningful in any direction. That applied to our situation would be the same thing. If you're only being misayea and you're the eno yochol, then an adjunct is not part of the deal. And that is a raya to Rav Chista as well. Ravina says, I've also got a raya from this braita. If a Kohen is mekabel the dam in his right hand, and which is correct, but what this Kohen did is he also used his left hand to support the cup that he's being mekabel the dam in. Now that is a problem, right? Because a kibo bismo, we learn out from the pasuk, would be pasul. In this case, he was kibo b'yamin, but he used his smol also. So the smol is misayato. It says over here the avoda is kosher. Now, why is the avoda kosher? Isn't he also using his smol to support it? Must be because we don't care about that. And additional support is not considered to be significant. That's exactly what Rav Chista said. A misayea ein bo mamash. A mere adjunct is not considered to be significant in the act. Shmamina again. Now, getting back to the case that we had before of Zeyachol, Vzeyachol, that Rabbi Meir said, even if both of them are able to do it, it doesn't matter, you would still be chayev. Now, as Tosfos points out, the question that we're about to ask is just as reasonable to be asked about Rabbi Yehuda's position of ze eino yochol, ze eino yochol. And in fact, the Rabbeinu Hananel even changes the girsa to read, according to Rabbi Yehuda, ze eino yochol, ze eino yochol chayev. Okay. Tosfos says there's no need to change the girsa, but the truth is that the question stands on any shita that would say that it is possible for two people to be chayev in doing the same malacha together. Now ask yourself, why is that true? Is it that two people are chayev because the Torah has looked at it as each one of them being a full partner in one malacha? Or are the two people chayev because we view each one of them as doing their own malacha? It's not that the partnership is what's chayev. It's that since ze eino yachol ve ze eino yachol, then each one of them is basically doing a hutzah. This is as much of the hutzah I can do. Problem is, of course, if we're going to look at it in the latter way, then in order for me to be chayev on a hutzah, I need to have the relevant shiur for the hutzah, right? The din is, if I don't cross that threshold, I may be doing the act, but it's not the act which is defined as the malacha. So I'm only taking out a chatzi gro geret of food. It's not called hotzah. So in a case where two people are doing it, how do I look at it? Do I look at it as one hotzah for which two people are chayev? So then all I need is one gro geret. It doesn't matter how many people are there. Or do I look at it as each person doing a hotzah? But if that's the case, we'll say to him, well, I mean, you didn't take out enough to eat because the other guy is going to be eating it, right? So then each one of them would need to have a shiur. And the number of partners that would be involved would be the number of shiurim that would be involved. So this is the question. Be'inon shiur lezeh v'shiur lezeh, odilma shiur echad l'kulam. How do we understand the interrelationship of the partners in the act of the malacha? Rav Chisdev Rav Hamnuna argued, we don't know who said what, but we do know that one of them said, you definitely need a separate shiur for each one, because each one is viewed as doing the malacha independently. Whereas the other one said, no, there's one malacha that's being done, and the Torah is mechayev you for doing that one malacha, even though there were two participants. Says the Gemara, I think we got a raya. Amar Papa Mishmei Durava. We can bring a raya again from the Mishnah in Zavim. Now look, it says over there, the same case we had before, Zav is on a bed, and there's four talitot, one under each leg. And every one of those talitot are tmeot. Why? Because it's a ze'eno yachol ve'ze'eno yachol. It needs all of its legs. Excuse me. The din is, as we mentioned earlier, that nothing is betami midras unless it supports at least the rov of the zov's weight. Well, over here, each one of these legs is only supporting a quarter of the zov's weight, right? So then, by that token, nothing should be tame. And yet we're saying all of them are tame, even though there's only one zov in the bed. Now, if there were four zovim in the bed, I would understand. That would be the equivalent case of my taking out two grogrok on Shabbos with two people. And if your shita is you need a shear for each one, you need one zov per leg in order for me to get most of the weight on each one of the legs. But it doesn't say that. It says, even if there's only one zov. So that shows me, am I? Liboy shear ziva lezeh v'shear ziva lezeh. Why don't I need a full shear for each one? So you see clearly from here, you don't. All you need is one shear. All the participants are viewed as full participants since Zeino Yechol v'Zeino Yechol, or according to Rabbi Meir, because of the fact that even if it's Zeyechol v'Zeyechol, the Torah was never Mamayat that, we view everyone as being a full participant in the entirety and not being on their own in this. Another proof, says Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, there's also the Mishnah we have over here in Shabbos later. Here was a case, we talked about these cases earlier, where a deer goes into a house and somebody comes and slams the door and closes the door on the deer, thereby trapping the deer, right? So if you go and you trap the deer, then you would be chayev. But if two people move the door together, then they're potter, unless it's such a heavy door that it can't be moved. Unless there's two people. Okay, so lo yachol echad linol v'nol lo shnayim. So this would be basically the case of Reb Yehuda, in which ze eino yachol v'ze eino yachol chayav. The Mishnah is saying you would be chayev. How could you be chayev on trapping half of a deer? I mean, you got to trap the animal, and there's only one animal. So how could two people be chayav for trapping one animal? Unless, of course, you don't need an animal for each act of trapping. There's only one act of trapping. Both people are chayav for that one act of trapping. You see, again, the same principle over here. It must be, la mishum de'amrinan, shiur echad l'kulam. The way that we view the interaction is that both are doing the entire malacha. Om Ravina, I've also got a good raya from a whole different sugya. What would be the din of two people who steal a sheep and they shecht it, okay? Are they chayev in arba v'chamisha or not? Well, it says in the Braita, if two people are gonev and toveach, and there's only one sheep or one shor, they would still be chayev to pay dalet or hay for the sheep or the shor, respectively. Now, why? Don't you need to do the act of shechita for one and the act of shechita for the other? And the fact that they're both holding the knife and doing the shechita, I mean, that's not a shear that is enough to be mechayev of you. So it must be because we say there's no such thing. Both of these people were gonev and shochet. So you see, you don't need two separate shiurim. I'm Rav Ashi. I got another raya. How about the din over here in Shabbos in the Braita of Shnayim Shotziu Kaneh Shel Gardi Chayavim? Remember that Kaneh Shel Gardi was the what's called the reed, really, which it's that thing that looks like a comb, except that it's closed on both sides, and you pull it down after the weft goes through the warp. You pull it down in order to get it tightly ready for the next piece that goes through. And so that is l'chora, one instrument, which is one shear, and it says if two people carry it out, so they would both be chayev. Either it's talking about a very heavy one, or it's going to leave the Rebbe Meir. Tosfos says later, be talking about a heavy one. V'amai, why would they both be chayev? You've only got one reed, and the shear of Otzah was that one usable reed. Why don't we need shi'ur lezeh and shi'ur lezeh? So once again, you see, one shear is enough for two people because they both are considered to be doing the same melacha. I don't think this is such a good proof. Because how do you know that you necessarily need to have the shear of the whole instrument for one person? I mean, look, this thing is made out of wood, right? So if it's made out of wood, you could always break it in two and burn it. And maybe there's enough to cook an egg with one half and to cook an egg with the other half. I mean, that was the shear of wood. Enough energy to be able to cook an egg. So Dilma de eat peke de lavash shall beitza kalalazet. Ubeitza kalalazet. And therefore, we're saying that you're chayev because each one does have a shear. Then why would we talk about a reed, for heaven's sakes? A technical reed, a weaver's reed. I mean, it's ridiculous. If that would be the point, you could just say a piece of reed, a normal piece of reed. Why would we say the gardi, a weaver's reed? Okay, fine, that's true. All right, fine. So, but I still say it could be that maybe we're talking about over here a reed that's, let's say, it's 30 threads long, right? So you're able to pull it tight. Well, so then maybe the point is that you could, at the same time, you could be using it for weaving two completely separate ribbons, right? Why not? So it would depend on how you're basically setting up the warp threads. So maybe it's got enough for a handkerchief for one guy and a handkerchief for the other guy. And because of that, there is a shear for each one of them. So I can't prove it from here. This particular case, sorry, it doesn't really count. Tani Tana Kameda Rav Nachman. Now, this is totally off the wall. Rabbi Shimon is the one who always says you're potter. There's no possible way that Rabbi Shimon should say, in this particular case, you'd be chayev. I don't care if it's the heaviest thing in the world, which I mean, it's difficult to believe that a kanesh ogardi is. But let's say, kanesh ogardi, that's very heavy. Rabbi Shimon is dafke, the one who always holds your potter because he had three miyutim, remember? Ask the Gemara, what the heck are you talking about? Klap Elia, where are you going, man? Okay, sorry. Ema, of course, we should have said that the Braita was saying that if you take it out, let's say it was heavy, or maybe this is going like Rabbi Meir, so you would be chayavim. And Rabbi Shimon would poter under any and all circumstances. Okay, gentlemen, that gives us some fascinating insights into the interrelationship on so many different levels between two people doing things in terms of the overall din of doing a malacha between two people, even separate parts, or the norms of a malacha where two people are needed to do it, or the idea of helping out somebody in which your help is essential, which is the Zeino Yechol v'Zeino Yechol, or whether helping out where your help is not essential is considered to be meaningful. We extended this into all kinds of dinim other than the dinim of Shabbos, because after all, remember that it was learned from the Pasuk in terms of Chiyuv Chatas. It wasn't specifically a dinim Eleches Machsheves at all. It was a general halacha of what is considered to be an act. And so we learned it's even true l'gabi the dinim of Tuma. And we then applied it across the board, even in terms of coming to understand the interrelationship between the two partners, if there were such, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Meir, and what the din would be in terms of the relationship of the person who's doing it to the shir in case there were two people doing it.